Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly is in studio with me. It's game day once again for Indiana after what seems like a little bit of a break from Sunday. Indiana on the road tonight at Mackey Arena at Purdue. It's a big one for many ways. In many ways, it's obviously a rivalry game. Indiana's not fared real well against Purdue under Archie Miller and really recently as a whole, especially at Mackey Arena. And tonight Indiana's playing, I don't want to say for the first time in a while, but somewhat with some momentum. They've got two big wins under their belt. They had some recruiting momentum a few nights ago when Christian Lander committed. The fan base is into it. Obviously, that won't make a difference tonight. It's a road game, and Purdue's fan base is pretty doggone good at Mackey Arena. But Indiana 1-9, Lee Kelly, in its last 10 games against Purdue. Can the Hoosiers keep the momentum rolling tonight, the good news rolling tonight? And definitely, I think, with a road win and another win in conference play, clinch for sure a berth in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and looking over the articles yesterday and today about the game tonight, it seems like both of these teams are trying to keep their hopes alive to get into the tournament. So it's not just the rivalry game that we always have between these two teams, but the articles I read pretty much led you to believe if Purdue loses tonight, they have no hope of getting into the tournament, short of winning the Big Ten tournament itself. IU needs this one to keep moving along. I saw somebody had them as a 9 seed now. Last week they were a 10 seed. So it's important in so many more ways than we've seen in the past, maybe, because of the ramifications of the tournament and so on.
Absolutely. And tonight, I think, has all the makings to be a good one. I think we expect a competitive game when these two hook up. Indiana hasn't always played well against Purdue. Archie Miller hasn't won against Purdue in his time at Indiana just yet. But I do think that this is a game, Indiana, with how they've been playing, if they can just mirror that somewhat, given that Purdue's lost 4 in a row. They haven't been playing their best basketball of the season, which is what you want to be playing right now. You could make an argument that maybe Indiana is. And if that trend continues tonight, I think it'll be close and competitive and perhaps a war, but I think Indiana can get the win. There's some people that'll tell you Indiana's in the tournament right now as things stand with their record, no matter what happens in these next 4 games, 2 on the road and 2 at home. But I don't see how if Indiana wins tonight or at Illinois, just one of the last 4, especially one of the road games, I don't see how you can't have a lot of confidence that this team is in the tournament. But you know what? With the way Indiana's playing, with momentum on their side, why not try to win all of them if you can? Tonight, I think it's very winnable. I think Illinois is a tough game, a tough matchup for Indiana at Illinois. They've played well there. And then I think the 2 home games are obviously very winnable. You should think any game at home is winnable in this Big Ten Conference with the way things have gone. So could Indiana finish with 3 out of 4, which I think would be tremendous? And at that point, they're not only in the tournament, but they're improving their seed a little bit. So, you know, interesting to think about. I'm sure some Indiana fans hyped up, think Indiana can win all 4, can win 3 of 4. Yep, Matt, that sounds good. That sounds like something very realistic based on what we've seen with this team. Race Thompson's coming on, Trace Jackson Davis continuing to play well, multiple players in double figures, balanced efforts, better defense, not as many turnovers, rebounding has looked a lot better at times. There's many reasons, I think, to feel that way, to feel positive about it, but there's a whole nother set of people that are thinking, is this team going to take a swerve back the other way like we've seen so many times? It's a team that's taken a lot of turns throughout the season, so we'll see tonight. But I do feel like if you're going on the road right now, it's a short trip, it's a game Indiana, gosh, you gotta believe these players know we haven't beaten Purdue in a long time. It's time. So I think if you're going to play a road game, a good one to play right now is at Purdue and try to get the win.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's impressed me the most about IU recently, they seem to have more confidence in the way they play. When Penn State made that comeback, took a six-point lead, I'm thinking, here we go again, you know. You played so well up to this point, and then boom, it's just all down the drain, and they're going to lose their momentum. They're going to, and they didn't. They came back, played with confidence. I've been one of the guys that have given Devontae Green more grief than most, probably, but I think he's playing more under control, more team basketball, understanding his role better than he has. And I think that's one of the reasons why they have been playing better, is that he's not doing silly things that at critical times that really hurt them in the past. And we've mentioned some other players. It appears we've got a 7-8-man rotation going on. Some players at the end of the bench get a nice comfortable seat and watch the game and realize what they're going to be doing. But I just think they're playing with more confidence. When something bad happens, they don't seem to go, here we go again, and it just all falls apart.
Absolutely. Let's jump into the show today. Today's lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, as we move along, we have our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday. We'll take a look more at Indiana-Purdue tonight. We'll take a look at some Big Ten action last night, which was very interesting. Two games, both of them decided by 1 point apiece. We'll tell you about that. And then also last night, another weekday high school game, Floyd Central in action. They were victors over Columbus East last night. We'll catch you up on that and more in our Zaxby's headlines. Later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us. He's always our guest on Thursdays. And we'll cover a lot of IU stuff with Alex, not only tonight's game, but we'll talk about this Indiana team as a whole. Obviously, the race in the Big Ten Conference to get good seeds for the tournament. And we'll talk some recruiting stuff. Christian Lander, committed, now officially in the fold as a verbal commit of the program. It looks like he's going to reclassify, or at least make the attempt to reclassify, which would mean he would be at Indiana next year and could very soon join the 2020 class of recruits for Indiana. We'll talk about that. What's the latest Alex is hearing on Trey Kaufman? Because now that Christian Lander's committed, that's kind of the key target, especially in our area. You had two Southern Indiana guys, and Christian and Trey. One of them's committed, so obviously the other, in Trey Kaufman, is the big, big – he already was, but now he's kind of the lone big man on campus as far as his recruitment goes. And we'll talk some about him with Alex today as well. That's what we'll do today. That's the show lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you'd like to interact with the show, submit a comment or a question. Maybe it'll get read on the air or used for a question when Alex joins us in the next segment. You can find us on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, at Hoosier Hills, and you can tweet me your question or comment there. You can also follow our page on Facebook, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Click like, you'll get updates on podcasts, guests that are going to join the show, other news and notes, and you can also leave us a comment or question there as well. And again, perhaps it'll get incorporated into today's show when Alex Bozich joins us in the next segment. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Zaxby's with a location in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And I mentioned, Lee, to start things off today, Indiana, 1 win, 9 losses in its last 10 tries against Purdue. Purdue, this season, to set their resume, 14-14, and even 500 overall right now. They are just 7-10 in Big Ten Conference play. And since they beat Indiana at Indiana on Bob Knight Day, you could say, that's their last win. Purdue has lost four games in a row and basically has removed themselves from contention for the NCAA tournament. There was a time that they were right behind Indiana, maybe just a nip behind Indiana as far as being mentioned as a bubble team or someone that could get in if they won some late games. But they've lost a lot of that momentum, a lot of that ability to be in contention, at least at this point. I guess with a win tonight and a miraculous run the rest of the way and into the tournament, they could perhaps still find a way. But right now, I don't think you consider Purdue a NCAA tournament team as things stand headed into tonight's game. 7 o'clock tip. It's on Fox Sports 1 tonight. Of course, 6 o'clock is our pregame show with Don Fisher and crew on the Big X if you want to listen along here on the radio. And, Lee, you know, I think we have to go back to Purdue's last win at Assembly Hall and remember that, yes, it was a terrible IU performance, especially in the second half of play, but it was a memorable day. It's when the general made his return to Bloomington, and I'm not sure if it shell-shocked everybody. I know the players reportedly got the opportunity to hear from Bob Knight, to meet him before the game that day. They were not there at halftime, obviously, when he was brought out for that special ceremony and introduction. But, you know, you have to wonder how that affected things, because that wasn't just like, hey, we've got some special guests coming back or a great player or two's coming back. This was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that people have waited years and years for. And obviously the buildup to that completely overtook the storyline of two rivals that at that point were both really needing wins if they were going to put themselves at this point of the year to be in contention for the NCAA tournament. I tell you what, after that game ended, I had zero hope Indiana would be in contention for an NCAA tournament spot. I could definitely see Purdue being an Indiana spot today, but it's funny how things work. Purdue hasn't won since that point. Indiana's now won two in a row, looks really good, playing some good basketball. But I wonder how much the Bob Knight festivities, with how crazy all of that was, did affect everything with the game on when it was at Assembly Hall a few weeks ago.
Bobby's return meant more to some people than others, but I'm glad it's over with. Now, maybe that's not what you hear when you talk about Indiana basketball. So this Indiana team, and I think you can say that about a lot of teams this year, big question marks. I mean, Duke loses two in a row, and four teams right now being mentioned as possible NCAA tournament teams out of the SEC, and the Big East being talked about as the strongest conference this year. It's been an unusual year is what I'm trying to say. And will that continue in the conference tournaments and in the NCAA tournament? I hope so, because I love it when you've got the upsets and the teams you don't expect to win come through and all of that. But Indiana, last year we saw them fall apart. Maybe this year is the year that they put it all together right at the very end. They have in the last couple of games. If they can maintain that, have a good showing in the tournament, maybe they can move up from right now being talked about as a ninth seed. Maybe they can move up a little higher. Maybe they can maintain and play good basketball if they do make the NCAA tournament. So Purdue looked like a team that we thought was going to be in. There were going to be 11 or 12 Big Ten teams mentioned. Now it's down to, I think, 10 teams being mentioned by the bracketologist. And so it's been an unusual year, and it's been a frustrating year for almost every fan base across the country at some time.
Yeah, no question. It has been a crazy year of college basketball. I mean, that just obvious when we talk about some of the scores and some of the happenings each day. Even just the Big Ten Conference, I think, has been a great example of how wild and crazy things have been. And, of course, you hear all the bracketologists now not only talking from an Indiana fan perspective, okay, is Indiana going to make it? What seed would we be? Where are we at today? Where would we be at with a win tonight, a loss tonight? So you've got, listening to those guys on down-the-line teams, basically, but listening to those guys on who the top four seeds are, the number one seeds, maybe the number two seeds, it's really interesting some of the teams that are being mentioned. And, of course, San Diego State, I think at one point was a lock for a number one seed, especially they were undefeated. How could you not give them one? I've seen a little of that talk slow on them for a one seed. Dayton is another team, excuse me, that's been mentioned for a one seed or now maybe not a one seed but a high seed. Teams that, you know, I guess you really call mid-major plus teams that, you know, you don't expect year in and year out to be mentioned for one seeds. It's been Duke. It's been Kansas. It's been Carolina. It's been Kentucky. Louisville maybe in that next tier. Virginia. Others. Michigan State from the Big Ten. Michigan from the Big Ten. But it's not been Dayton or San Diego State and even others that have been mentioned as well. So it's been an interesting year, and I'm like you. I think the Big Ten Conference, I'm more excited about that than I've ever been, not just from an Indiana perspective, because I think they could get hot and win two or three games and do great. I think they could also go out in the first game. But I think the entire conference setup will be that way, which will make that tournament extra special. And then, of course, the NCAA tournament. Are we going to have just a crazy winner this year? Is it going to be somebody that's never won it before or typically is not in a Final Four or not in the Elite Eight even? I think it's that kind of year. It's built up to that kind of year.
Is this year we have another 16 beating a number one seed? You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
The number one seeds have been up and down. We've seen so many teams at the number one spot. One of the stories I keep seeing over and over again with different people commenting is Kansas being number one now. Are they going to hand them the banner and then take it right away from them because they're under investigation? So going to be interesting in a lot of ways. This basketball season has certainly had its twists and turns throughout the 1920 season.
Absolutely. Big Ten basketball last night, two games, but both of them were really interesting. Penn State, a 65-64 winner over Rutgers. That was a home game for Penn State. Very interesting finish to that one. Penn State hangs on to win by a point. And Maryland in a battle with Minnesota. Of course, Indiana won at Minnesota. Minnesota has kind of lost contention for now for the NCAA tournament. Indiana's got to play them again at home in the final week of the regular season. A one-point win for Maryland in that game was at Minneapolis. Excuse me. That game was at Minneapolis last night. So I guess if you want to summarize the Big Ten Conference in one night, you could look at those two scores. And I guess the favorites ended up winning both of those games, but only by a point against teams that Rutgers is obviously fairly strong, but Minnesota that's not been playing well at all. That kind of summarizes what life in the Big Ten Conference has been like. Also last night, Floyd Central was in action, their final home game of the regular season. The Highlanders win 69-56 over Columbus East, a Hoosier Hills Conference game. Floyd Central 16-6 and 5-2 in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Jake Heidbreeder, no surprise there that he led the way with 24 points last night. Also neat to see that the seniors, Grant Goman had 20 points, Seth Burks 11 points for Floyd Central last night, both of those guys in double figures, and obviously Grant Goman with a big game last night. And, of course, now the Highlanders are off to the sectional at Seymour. They get a bye where they very likely will play Purdue. Here I'm thinking Indiana-Purdue. They very likely will play Jeffersonville on Friday night in that semifinal, which should be a great game. The Red Devils won that regular season game by 3 points on a Jacob Jones three-pointer. It was at Floyd Central. Now they'll play it at a neutral site in Seymour. Of course, Jeff's got to get there. They've got to beat Seymour, who's improved this year on Tuesday night. But, again, Friday night at Seymour could be a lot of fun for local teams if it all works out as we think and as we hope. That is a look at our headlines, our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. Still ahead, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Lots on IU-Purdue, lots on Indiana, the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, and a lot on recruiting. Christian Lander in the fold now, committed earlier this week. Trey Kaufman, could he be next? Where does Alex think the Hoosiers stand with him? We'll cover a lot of ground in the next segment with Alex, right here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly in studio with me. Alex Bozich joins us for some preview of this Indiana-Purdue game tonight and more. Alex, we've talked some this week about Purdue. Their last win was at Assembly Hall on that special day for many Indiana fans when Bob Knight made his return to an IU game. A lot of going on with this Purdue team. If you look at some of their results, they've had some big wins at home. They've had some success at home. They've had some periods where they've played pretty good. And then other periods like one they're in right now, four-game losing streak and not playing very good basketball. Any idea what's going on with this Purdue team since their win at Assembly Hall? And kind of what do you expect tonight in this rematch this time at Mackey Arena?
Yeah, Purdue's one of the more difficult teams to figure out, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country. You mentioned they've had some really good moments. I mean, they obviously beat Virginia in the Big Ten ACC Challenge by a ton at home. They beat Michigan State by a lot at home. They beat Iowa by, I think, 34 at home. They beat Wisconsin by 19 at home. So when they're good, they can be really good. Beat, you know, a number of those four teams are probably all going to make the NCAA tournament. All really good wins. The problem is, for them, in my opinion, they just don't have consistent enough scoring at certain positions. You know, they last year were obviously fortunate to have Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein on the roster. This year, they're in a bit of a rebuilding year, and when that happens, you've got guys stepping into new roles, and they're not always able to, you know, consistently produce. It's similar to what we've seen at times with Indiana in their backcourt. There's just certain guys who show up one game and hit a bunch of threes, and there's games where that player or a group of players doesn't really show up and play well. They're capable, obviously, of beating anybody. They've shown it to this point, but now, as you mentioned, they're in a rut of sorts. But I would expect tonight it's going to be quite the atmosphere, and it's going to be one of those moments where Indiana's going to have to come out and be ready to take a punch or multiple punches early in the game if they want to stick in. You know, I think the biggest key to me going in is, you know, how Indiana comes out, because when Purdue's beaten teams badly at home, they've blitzed them from the opening tip, and it hasn't really been a game after that. But the teams that have had some success there have been able to stay in the game early, keep the crowd out of it as much as possible, and just keep it close and give yourself a chance in the second half. And that, you know, they've faltered sometimes when that's happened. I think they've already got four home losses. So it's definitely a game that's winnable for Indiana, but they're going to have to play really well to do it.
Is this a key game for both teams as far as the NCAA tournament, do you feel?
I mean, for Purdue, I mean, I never want to call any game a must-win because there's really no must-win in college basketball unless you're in the NCAA tournament or, you know, you're in the conference tournament and you're not going to get an at-large bid. You got to keep winning it. But for Purdue, I mean, they're going to have opportunities coming up beyond this. You know, obviously going to be in the Big Ten tournament, so they got a chance if they can do some damage there. But, you know, if they want to get some momentum here, you know, I think they need to win these last three games of the regular season that they have coming up, and that's not going to be easy. I think they go to Iowa, who's going to be looking for some revenge. I think they also have, I want to say, Rutgers at home to close out the regular season, in addition to this game tonight against Indiana. For Indiana, you know, I don't view it as a must-win, but it's one of those things where they're 1-9 now in their last 10 games against Purdue. So at what point is Indiana going to say, we should maybe beat these guys once in a while? I mean, they've beat them once since, I think, 2013. So it's, you know, I think Indiana is going to make the NCAA tournament, assuming they can win two of their final four games. I don't think one of those games has to be tonight. But for more of a pride and a rivalry thing, this has been pretty one-sided now for a while. And I think it's important for Archie Miller, too. I think he's 0-4 now against Purdue. He's at some point needs to win a game against Purdue. That's a game that IU fans circle on the calendar at the beginning of the year and say this is one we'd at least like to win once, and they just haven't been able to do it here recently. So from that perspective, from an NCAA tournament perspective, I don't know how much it really matters if they win. It obviously just kind of puts them one step closer to kind of locking up that bid. If they lose, I don't necessarily think it's going to hurt them all that much.
Now, Alex, you mentioned you thought Indiana had to win 2 of 4, and it didn't necessarily matter which 2 of the 4 they won. Some people think Indiana could be in now, regardless what happens. Other people think 1 game and then some 2. You think that's what it'll take for sure to get Indiana not only in the tournament but maybe off the bubble as well, 2 more wins out of their last 4?
I mean, I think if they win the home games, they're definitely in. I mean, I guess there's scenarios where if they won only one and won a Big Ten tournament game, or I think to be safely in, they need to win 2 of these games. The problem when you get close to the bubble is when you're one of those teams that's vying for the final spots, then all of a sudden a lot of different variables are coming into play. Like what's happening in other conference tournaments. And that's kind of where in this season of college basketball, I think we could get in to maybe some muddy water with these bubble teams for those last couple spots. All of a sudden there's some upsets in conference tournaments with teams like maybe Gonzaga or San Diego State, or, you know, even in the big major conferences, something wild could happen in the Big 12 or the ACC or the Big 10. And all of a sudden, there's one less bid, and then if you're one of those final few teams, there goes your spot. So I think if Indiana wants to be comfortably in, they need to win 2 of these last 4 or go on a run in Indianapolis.
The Hoosiers, as I look at their lineup, it really the starting lineup hasn't changed much. And do you think that the play of, and of course now my mind has gone completely blank, the gentleman who comes in and replaces Brunk in the middle, help me out
Ray
here.
Ray Thompson.
Yes. The play of Race and Davis underneath, are is that one of the big reasons why Indiana has looked good the last couple of games and maybe beyond those 2 games? But it just seems they play well together, play with a lot of emotion, and have come up with big plays at critical times during games.
Yeah, Thompson in particular has been impressive. I mean, Archie Miller said he's playing the best he has in his career, and I would agree with that. He's been just kind of that gritty glue guy that is willing to kind of do whatever it takes on the court. Indiana hasn't always had that over the last couple of years, and now they seem to have a guy that's willing to kind of mix it up and, you know, on occasion get under the skin of the opponent. I mean, you need some guys like that. Will Sheehy was a guy like that at Indiana several years ago. People remember they loved him because that was the way he played. And I think Race Thompson has a lot of those same qualities, and that he's just given it 110% on every possession. The other thing I'll say about Indiana recently that they've been doing much better, that I think has been a reason that they've played better, is they're not turning the ball over nearly as much as they have been. I think 3 straight games now they've kind of been below their season average on turnover percentage, which is a big number I watch with this team, because as offensively challenged as they are, if they're giving the ball away, that just kind of takes a lot of the chances for them to score offensively. It makes the percentage of them chances of them scoring even lower, because they're not a great shooting team to begin with, and then they're turning the ball over and giving the opposition chances to get in transition. So I think that's been really the last couple weeks, maybe the biggest development along with Race Thompson. You know, if Indiana, I think in any road game that they play, I mean, tonight that's the things I will watch for the most are rebounding and taking care of the ball. If they don't do either of those things well tonight, they're not going to have much of a chance to win.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest, talking IU basketball. And, of course, Indiana at Purdue tonight, 7 o'clock is the tip-off. 6 o'clock pregame coverage with Don Fisher and the IU Network here on the Big X Sports Radio. The Big Ten is crazy. Last night, 2 1-point games. The favorites won, but just by a point each. Penn State, one of those winners. Help me, Lee. Now my mind has went blank. The other winner,
Maryland
last night. Yeah, my mind went blank on that.
It's
sorry.
Contagious.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess last night was a good summary of how crazy this conference has been. As we look at the Big Ten tournament, which is getting closer and closer, I think that you have to have confidence that it's going to be as nuts as what the regular season in the conference has been. I am not going to be surprised with just about any outcome or any winner in the Big Ten Conference tournament in Indianapolis, which I think could bode well for a team like Indiana. And I'm curious how you see the whole thing shaping up. Obviously, there's no way to predict it. We don't know for sure how the seeds are going to play out. There's still a number of games, and there's a big gridlock, if I'm right, between, I think, 2, 3, 4, 5, or maybe even 2 through 6 that are real tight right now in the standings, where some of these final games could greatly affect who's in, you know, from 2 to 5 or 2 to 6, things like that. But what do you see in the tournament? I think that we have to expect it's going to be just a wild and crazy Big Ten tournament with some upsets and with some crazy games.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, with the exception, I think, of Northwestern or Nebraska, I wouldn't be shocked if anybody, if any of those 12 teams makes it to, you know, the Saturday or Sunday to have a chance to win it. You know, the thing I always look at is in tournament play is who's playing the best, you know, the last couple of weeks going into the tournament, and also who's got the best point guard. That to me is two, I think, significant factors, especially winning on, you know, basically a one. There's no break between games. I mean, if you're playing Thursday, if you want to win, you're winning 4 straight games in 4 days. You've got to be in rhythm coming in, I think, and kind of be able to carry that over. And you got to have a good point guard that can run the team and keep everything together, because there's going to be inevitable ups and downs when you're going through a tournament run. And if you don't have good point guard play, I don't think you're going to win. So I look at teams like Michigan and Michigan State. I know I've talked about both of those teams a lot, but I just really like what those teams have at the point guard position, and Maryland too with Anthony Cowan. But Xavier Simpson and Cassius Winston to me are kind of the cream of the crop at the point guard position in this league. And I would be surprised if those teams aren't very successful in tournament play. And a large reason for that will be, I think, the play at point guard.
Alex, let me ask you about, you mentioned the conference tournament in 4 games in 4 days. Is the conference tournament a detriment to teams entering the NCAA tournament almost immediately after? I mean, you 4 games in 4 days is really a lot of basketball for these guys, and after a long season anyway, and then almost immediately you turn right around, and the following Thursday, in most cases, or Friday, you're in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some scenarios where you can say it could be a negative thing. I mean, take a team like, let's say Purdue goes on a run, or let's say Minnesota goes on a run, and they could, you know, if they do go on a run, there's a chance they could be one of those last teams in. They could potentially go on a run and then have to play in Dayton on Tuesday or Wednesday. Or even if, you know, a team like Indiana goes on a run that could be solidly in, say they get to Sunday, the Big Ten tournament, all of a sudden they play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they could be shipped to Spokane or Sacramento on Thursday. I just don't think that's necessarily a great setup for success for a team. So, yeah, I mean, I know when the Big Ten tournament started, Bob Knight talked about how much he hated it because it wasn't the tournament they wanted to win. So why put all that much effort and resources into something that isn't as important as the next tournament you're going to play? So, I mean, I think there's benefit to it if you're a bubble team or you're a team that, you know, gets a double bye, maybe only have to play 3 games. But, I mean, you talk about playing 4 or 5 games in a row and then trying to go play a tournament a couple days later. I just don't think there's any way you could say it's a positive. To me, it's pretty brutal. I mean, all season long, these guys are getting, 2, 3 days of rest between games, and then to ask them to play that many in a row, and it's really only done. The conference tournament only exists really for TV purposes. It's entertaining. We all like to watch it, but in terms of what it actually means, that's why I've never really gotten too worked up when people ask me, well, are you ever going to win the Big Ten tournament, or why are they so bad? I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter all that much if they win that. I mean, the real tournament exists after that, and that's one where you want to be set up for success.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com. Don't forget to head to InsideTheHall.com. You can follow Alex on Twitter at InsideTheHall. Lots of preview stuff there about Purdue. Lots of stuff about Christian Lander and his commitment to Indiana earlier this week, which is what we're going to talk about next with Alex. Were you surprised by the commitment? I know we've talked about Christian Lander a great deal over the last year and a half or so. Indiana has always been very much in the mix with him. There were some rumblings that he may not go back to Evansville Wrights next year. He might go the prep school route. He might go to another high school situation of some sort and not return to Evansville. There were also some rumors that he might want to try to reclassify, and that's becoming a more and more common thing. We're seeing a lot of top-level players in high school basketball do. Your thoughts on the addition of Christian Lander, and were you surprised by his commitment on, I guess it was Tuesday night?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. Didn't really see it coming. I mean, I obviously thought Indiana had a shot, but I know Louisville had put a lot into recruiting him as well. And, you know, the thing that kind of threw me off in terms of the timing was he was just at Louisville over the weekend and then visited IU. So I didn't have the sense that anything was imminent. Usually these kids will set a date or at least kind of give an indication of when they're going to make a decision. And the timing of the decision, I think, kind of has fueled the speculation that a reclassification could be in the works. And Alandra said that that's kind of his preference if he can make it happen academically. But it kind of seems like it's trending in that direction, because otherwise why commit now? If you're going to stay in high school for another year, why not let things play out? The schools that want you now are still going to want you a year from now. So if he's making the decision now, that kind of leads me to believe that he has his eye on being in college and playing in college next season. But obviously it's a tremendous pickup for Indiana. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think a lot of people thought the sky was falling in Bloomington. The program was in trouble. Archie Miller was going to be on the hot seat, and then they win a couple games and get a five-star point guard, and all of a sudden the momentum has changed. So that's a positive thing. I think he's a really good player. We'll see. I hope there's not too much pressure on him when he comes in. You know, obviously with what Romeo went through and to a lesser degree this year, Trace, there's just such high expectations for not only highly ranked kids, but kids from Indiana to kind of come in and be a savior. And I think Christian Lander, while he could be a really, really good player in time, I think he's going to need time to adapt to the college game like any other freshman. I think he's super talented, a good shooter, a really good athlete. I think he's going to be a really good addition to the program.
It makes me take a long look at their roster for next year and try to figure out who's going to get playing time. They got a lot of people coming back, a lot of starters, I guess all the starters coming back for next year, with Green and Deron Davis coming off the bench now. So it's going to be interesting to see how Leal Lander and Galloway work into that along with the players coming back.
Yeah, and the other thing that's kind of looming out there that we're not really talking about right now because we don't know what's going to happen is the NCAA is trying to get this, I don't know if they're trying to, but there's a chance that this transfer rule is going to be changed in time for next season. So that could also add to some roster shakeups. If guys can transfer freely without having to sit out, you could see opportunities for Indiana to add other players that could be impact guys for next season. You could also see players leave if they see, you know, that they may be recruited over or have a better opportunity to play somewhere else. So I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be good for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, because there's going to be stuff to talk about all summer. There usually isn't, and we might be talking about a free agent type of system in college basketball, which. You know, I think people are going to have a lot of differing opinions on, but I for one, am probably, as long as they set deadlines as to when guys leave and such, I'm in favor of players being able to transfer without sitting out at least one time. And I think it could be ultimately a good thing for the sport. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be a ton of guys coming back, like right now on paper. It'll be interesting to see how those three fit in. I think to me, all of them could make impacts in different ways. So it'll be interesting. Indiana definitely should have a pretty good, solid roster going into next season.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Final question, Alex. I appreciate your time today. Got to ask about Trey Kaufman. You know, he's right here in our backyard. Silver Creek has had a tremendous, tremendous season, and they are by far the front runner in the 3A state tournament, gearing up for what I believe will be a run back to Indianapolis. He has been a huge part of their success. If they're going to win back-to-back titles, he will be a huge part of that as well. Everybody wants to know, always, but especially now that Christian Lander is committed, what's the real insight on Trey Kaufman? Is he, IU at the top of his list? When's he going to cut his list? And I don't think he's close to any of those decisions yet, even making a cut in his list of schools that he's considering. But you're in Bloomington. You're around people that chat. You see the high school players and interview them from time to time, the recruiting prospects. What's your feel on Trey Kaufman right now?
I mean, I hate to handicap a recruitment because I don't know the kid personally, and I have no idea what he's thinking. All I can judge it on is, you know, the number of times he's been at IU this year, and he keeps showing up at games frequently. He's there a lot, and to me, if he wasn't serious about Indiana, he wouldn't be coming to all these games, and I know they're very serious about him. There's obviously some other schools that have put in a ton of time and effort as well, like Xavier and Purdue. I think Louisville has been involved as well to an extent. But, you know, Indiana's really made him a priority. They've watched him in person. He's been to a lot of their games. So I guess the best way to put it is I think Indiana's done as good of a job as they can to this point, and we'll see where it goes from here. I mean, you mentioned that he may not be in a hurry to cut his list, and you know, going back to the whole Romeo situation, I've always been in the camp of take your time, let things play out. I mean, when you're ranked that high or you're that coveted of a kid, you should take this, you know, you only get to make this decision once. You only get to kind of have this moment once. So why not take the time, get the most information as you can, and then make a decision when you're comfortable with it. So, but in terms of his interest in IU, I would say based on the evidence I've seen, which is, you know, he's there a lot. The mutual interest between Kaufman and Indiana seems to be at an all-time high at this point.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Check out Alex's coverage, free coverage of IU basketball, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Alex, thanks for the chat today.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great one.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back, wrap things up on this Thursday program. Indiana at Purdue tonight, 7 o'clock. Don Fisher, the legend, he's got the call right here on the Big X tonight. We'll head to a break and come back with more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final quick segment. Lee Kelly with me here in studio. And, of course, getting ready for a big IU-Purdue game tonight. And a really quick finish. I mean, Indiana's got four games pretty quick here in a short period of time. And then it's off to the Big Ten tournament, which is another fairly quick turnaround as well. And then, of course, you mentioned, and Alex, in the last segment, if you make the NCAA tournament, let's think that this Indiana team potentially is on their way, another quick turnaround. So it truly is March Madness. And guess what, Lee Kelly? It's February 27th, and we're getting a lot closer to our favorite month of March. And, of course, we're within a week or less than a week away from sectional play starting on Tuesday night. I know we're looking forward to taking in games Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, some which way or another. So obviously a great time of year. But any prediction tonight on this IU-Purdue game? Does Indiana continue its win streak and playing well? Do they build on this and maybe have a really good close to the season? Or could you see Purdue clipping them again at home?
If I had to bet this game, I would bet IU, because I think they're playing very well right now. Now, Purdue's going to come out and do their level best to ruin IU's hopes of making the tournament or having a great run to the end of the season. I understand that, but I just think Indiana's playing with a lot of confidence, and if I had to bet it, that's the way I would go in that game. But I think it would be a good one. You know, the one thing that I was just thinking about, that we talked about the Big Ten tournament, it's in Indianapolis, and with IU playing better here at the end of the season, if they can maintain that, that should help ticket sales, because Indiana fans might be willing to part with a little of that hard-earned cash to go watch more of that tournament if Indiana's playing well.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm going to go with Indiana too. I think it's going to be a battle, though. I think it will be down to the wire. We'll see, but a win for Indiana tonight, I think, has to lock it up. I know Alex says two, and others may say two or one. Some will tell you they're in now, but I think a win on the road, either at Purdue or at Illinois, is a lock. And then you got to believe Indiana can win one or two at home for sure. But, again, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good finish. It's going to be one of those finishes maybe where you don't feel like your back's against the wall, as it has last year specifically, even going into the start of the Big Ten tournament. But you'll be on the edge of your seat, especially when these games are close, thinking about the NCAA tournament in the distance.
Yeah. Archie's got his players now. Some of them have been with him for the 3 years. They're learning his system. Maybe – and I was critical of Archie, and I was critical of Devontae Green and so on, but maybe it is coming together. Maybe his plan is to win with experienced players, with some younger players mixed in. He's reaching that point, and they are playing better. So I'll give him a tip of the cap.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. My thanks to Lee Kelly for being with me in studio today. And, of course, Alex Bozich with us on the phone for an in-depth talk on IU basketball today. And still ahead on Friday, joining us in that show, we've got Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. And, of course, Jared Morris will start things off with him of Assembly Call as we recap the IU-Purdue game and perhaps an IU victory when Jared joins the program tomorrow. So lots coming your way with that. And make sure, if you missed it, Lee and I hosted the tournament pairing special presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling on Sunday evening. Seven local coaches. Justin Soaklin joined us as well. It was a great preview, I think, of the upcoming state tournament. It's available now as a podcast. That wraps it up for today. Have a great Thursday, and I'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.